Genesis chapter 3, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? Now, I've got a thought that I want to bring out today, and I'm going to proceed to that now. And I'm going to begin by talking about Eve and her confrontation by the serpent. You know, the serpent, the old devil. You could say Eve was the one that had the first door-to-door salesman. Amen. There are just a lot of things we could do that. You could also say that Eve and Adam were the first people to eat themselves out of house and home. I mean, there are all kinds of things that you could bring up. But we see the devil that he comes up. The devil's presence, he makes himself desirable. He's more subtle than any beast in the field, but he's actually a destroyer. The devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And his desire, although he tried to make it look like to Eve that he was trying to help her out, but his purpose was to bring death and destruction to the first family. The devil appears in a disguise. He never presents himself for who he truly is. His presentation, he began by casting doubt on the Word of God. God had told Adam, Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But here the devil says, Hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So he begins by casting doubt on the Word of God. And then Eve made the first mistake by engaging in conversation with the devil. You and I are no match for the devil. We cannot outsmart him. We cannot outmaneuver him. The best thing we can do with the devil is to not engage in conversation. Amen? And I want to encourage you to do that. Don't engage in conversation. The devil goes from doubt to denial. And although that Eve was maybe a little confused, she said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. That's not what God said. He said, The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Now the devil knows the word of God. Now he messes it up, but he knows it. He quoted it right. Ye shall not surely die. The devil goes from casting doubt of the word in the word of God in the heart and minds of those he talks to an outright denial, and then he's defiant. He said, God doth know that the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So this is how the devil makes his presentation. And where we see that he made his first presentation to the first human about a little more than 6,000 years ago, that the devil uses this same presentation. He appeals to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The woman saw that the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh, pleasant to the eyes, the pride of life, a tree to the lust of the eyes, the tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. That's how the devil works, his prodding. He works according to the law and the dictates of the flesh. What feels good? He appeals to your feeling instead of faith, and he also appears to your fears of what you might lose out on or what might happen. This is the devil's prodding. He's precise. The devil knew exactly when to hit Eve. And he knows exactly when to hit you and I. He knows exactly when. He knows exactly where to hit us. He knows exactly how to hit us. He knows exactly what weapon to use to hit us with. The devil knew exactly where to hit Eve. And he hit Eve first before he hit Adam. Because, see, the devil, you say, well, he did that because Eve was a weaker vessel. And to a certain degree, that is true. But, see, the devil didn't just have his sight on Eve. He really had his sight on Adam. Because he wanted Adam to give up the dominion and the blessing that God had given him. And the devil, knowing that he could not go to Adam and directly attack him because Adam would not stand for it. The devil could have come up and had the same conversation with Adam, and Adam said, no, God told me that thou shalt not eat, that I would die the day that I eat thereof. So the devil knew that wouldn't happen. So he attacks Eve, not just to get her, but to go after Adam. Sometimes the devil will attack you in order to get to somebody else. Men, husbands, it's very important for us to remember that the devil will attack our wives as a means to get to you. And so we must be careful. And also, let's don't give Eve a whole lot of flack right here, because I don't think there's a woman here that would have held up to the temptation that Eve was faced. See, the devil attacked Eve, and she sinned and lost the glory of God. God unclothed Eve, and then he used her fallen state to get to Adam. And with one, you could say with one arrow, with one bullet, he hit two targets. And that's how the devil operates. He knows exactly when to hit. He knows exactly where to hit. He knows exactly how to hit. He knows exactly what weapon to use and what ammunition to pull out of his arsenal that he has. And the devil knows exactly how to hit every one of us. Every one of us are unique individuals. We have our unique strengths. We have our unique weaknesses. We have our time of life. I mean, you have young people will be hit with different ammunition and different times than those of middle age and those of the older generation. The devil will hit men differently than women. And then we have the individual weaknesses and targets. The devil knows exactly when and where and how and what to hit. And he can hit on that target every time. The devil knows every one of our names. The devil knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. The devil knows your name. The devil knew Eve's name, but he called her by her sin, the sin that she would commit. The devil called, he knew Adam's name, but he called him by sin. The devil knows your name, my friend. He knows my name, but he calls us by our sin. He knows exactly when and where and how and what to hit us with, to where it'll knock us off track, every one of us. He knows what'll light your fuse. He knows what'll set you on fire. He knows what'll take you down. He knows what'll topple you over. And that's exactly where he hits. The devil knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. He hits you and me where we are weak. He lures us to the bait, and then once we take of that bait, he sets the trap. And that's how the devil operates. The devil knows you by name, but calls you by your sin. Not only do we see the devil and how that the confrontation of the serpent to the woman, but also we see the call of God to Adam and Eve. Look here in verse 8. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? See, the Word of God it goes forth. You know, God always has used His Word from Genesis all the way to Revelation and up to this time. That God's Word goes forth. And it goes forth with a general call to men to come to Him. God's Word goes out. You know, there's all kind of conspiracy theories that are going on today. I mean, they're on Facebook, they're on the news, they're everywhere. I believe the true and the greatest conspiracy that is taking place today is a conspiracy to silence God's people from spreading the gospel. And He does it by getting us tied up with all of the different theories and other things that are going on. And what we do is we fuss and we complain and we talk about this and that and the other. And say, well, I believe this is happening. No, I don't like that. I believe this is happening. And what we're doing is that we're sitting here and we're debating all of this stuff. You see it? I mean, it's full on Facebook. And all the while, there's no gospel witness. That's the conspiracy. Amen? I'll amen myself. That's the conspiracy that we're facing today. The silencing of the church for preaching the gospel. May it be known by our testimony, whether by our lives, by our speech, by our conduct, by what we put on email, by what we put on social media, above everything else, let us make sure that this dying world knows Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling high tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. See, God knows how. He knows our sin. The devil knows our name and calls us by our sin, and he's doing that today to us. I'm not fussing. None of us are a match for the old devil. Not a one of us. Together, we're not a match for the devil. We see here that God calls to Adam and says, "Where art thou?" It is not the sinner that has sought the Lord, but it's God that has sought the sinner. That God calls unto Adam and He says, "Where art thou?" And Adam said, "I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." What does a sinner do when they hear the Word of God? They hide themselves. They run from the presence of God. They're fearful and they try to blend in. And that's what sinners do today. I can go to Walmart or somewhere and I'll see somebody I've witnessed to, and I don't know why they're afraid. I mean, I'm a nice guy, right? Amen. And I'm not going to give anybody any trouble. I mean, not unless you mess with my wife or my money, my children, okay, then the redneck comes out of me. Amen. But I'll see people run. Why? That fear, not of me, but of the gospel that I represent. They hide. Hey, there's some people, they wouldn't come to the house of God. You know why? They're hiding. I used to be one of those that would hide and then try to blend in. That's what sinners do. But God calls out to the sinner to repent and to trust the Lord. God calls out to those that have drifted away from God out into the world, and He calls them to come home. And God says, He says, "Adam, where art thou?" Now, let me give you a little clue here. God knew where Adam was. Okay? God knew what Adam had done. The devil knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. And I have a Savior that knows my sin. But praise God, He calls me by name. Amen. He knows what you and I have done. He knows where we are. Sinner friend, He knows where you are in your sin and shame. God knows that you've sinned against Him, but He calls you by name to come to a wonderful Savior. Child of God, the devil knows our name and calls us by our sin. God knows where we've sinned. God knows where we've come short. God knows what you're thinking about right now. God knows what you have done before you've come here. God knows what you've experienced. Hey, if you come here, you could have a family. I mean, have a family feud. Amen. I mean, you just duped it out, sold tickets and everything. And then when you get out, and even maybe have the family feud until you drive up into the parking lot. And then as soon as you get out, amen, I'm glad to be in the house of God, smiling and laughing like everything is going great. You know how I know that? Because I've done the same thing. You say, did you do it today? Now, you don't really expect me to tell you that, do you? No more than I expect you to tell me that. But let me tell you, God knows, doesn't he? What about some of that thought life we you and I have? Some of the things that you watch that you shouldn't watch, listen you shouldn't listen to, the things that you, places you go you shouldn't go to, the hatred and the animosity that you have you shouldn't have. God knows your sin. He knows mine. But he calls you by name. Praise the Lord. Calls us by name. Why? He brought Adam out. See, God dealt with Adam's sin. There was a confession of sin. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I've commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, men, I hate to do this, okay, but it's here in the Bible. And you say, praise God, there's only about 12 minutes left of this service, okay? So you say amen right there under your breath. And the man said, the woman which thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. He was blaming, isn't that what men do? Blaming on their wives. Now, I wasn't expecting. In fact, if I was sitting out there, I wouldn't say amen. I figured I'd have a few women say amen, but you know that you're coming up next, so you're being gracious. The woman, I mean, isn't that what we do? Blame everybody else. Oh, that woman that you gave me, the children that you gave me, the job that you gave me, the situation, you gave that to me. And then as we go on, we realize that our excuses are not even worth the carbon dioxide we used to expel them. The woman that thou gavest me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now, I'm not going to give Adam too hard a time because I'm his descendant. But at least, praise God, he did come around to confessing that he sinned. There's a lot of men that haven't done that yet. Yeah. And he said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. At least she didn't give as much of an excuse, but she had it there. I mean, like Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Yeah, and I did eat. God wants us to get through the covering. See, they had the fig leaf religion. And it might work, you know, living life, but that fig leaf religion doesn't work before God. And I think sometimes in our soul-winning efforts, we're trying to get people out of their fig leaf religion, and there's only one thing that'll do that, and that's the Holy Ghost. But when the Holy Ghost showed up, that fig leaf religion, it wasn't working anymore. Their covering was insufficient. Their excuses did not hold water. And God brought the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, to the point where they came clean with God. God, in verses 14 through verse 19, reveals to them the circumstances, the consequences of their sin. But then in verse 21, he provided a covering and a cleansing unto Adam. Also in his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And Adam and Eve came out redeemed. Covered. The blood had been applied. God knows your sin. He calls you by name to the sinner. He calls out for you to come clean and to be saved. To call on the name of the Lord. To come in repentance and faith. To the backslidden child of God that's maybe far out into the world that you've been in the hog pen so long that they know your name, address, and social security number and whether you got your tax stimulus check or not. And yet God calls you by name. to come home. Maybe you're sitting right here with backslidden in your heart. God's Holy Ghost knows your condition, and He calls you by name so that you can come clean with Him and you can be cleansed and forgiven and have your fellowship restored and the glory of God to be your portion again, my friend. The devil knows our fears. He's using this situation in our country, in this world, to attack people where they fear. And is stirring up turmoil. God knows your fear and turmoil and calls you by name and says, I still govern and rule in the affairs of men. Amen. Probably would do good if you have your phone to turn it off at this time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we had a baby yesterday that let me know when it was time to wrap up. Now we got a phone. Amen. So appreciate all the help that I can get. Now I got to get back on track here. God knows your name and He calls you by name. He knows your sin, calls you by name. He desires for you to get right, to be cleansed. For those of us that battle fear and discouragement and doubt, God wants us to, He wants us to call to Him and to turn to Him so that we can have confidence and faith in the time that we live. There's the sending forth. See, the Lord did not allow Adam and Eve to stay in the Garden of Eden because they would have, if they had taken to the tree of life, they would have lived in a sinful condition forever, and God didn't want them to do that. He doesn't want you to do that. That's why we have an appointment with death. Can you imagine being in this body forever and ever? I mean, I see what 57 years has done to mine. I mean, I know I'm more happy and handsome than I used to be, but there's some things that just don't work like they used to. You understand? And some of you saying, wait till you get my age. Amen. Yeah. But I'm glad there's going to come a time that this tabernacle is going to be here one day. And I'm going to be in heaven. And there's going to be a grave splitting shout from heaven and a voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. We'll have a glorified body that'll know no aches or pains. Amen. The Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God sent Adam forth. Why? So he would go out and he would plant and sow and reap. God saved us and sent us out into a world to go and preach the gospel to every creature. God sent us out to be a witness and a testimony. The devil knows your name. He calls you by your sin. God knows your sin. He sins, and He calls you by name. The compassionate call of the Holy Spirit that says, come. To the sinner that needs Christ, the Holy Spirit says, come. The bride, the church, our invitation to the world is to come. The invitation of the Savior is to come and to be saved. I'm thankful that I received that invitation April 1st of 1984. And I'm glad that I accepted that invitation and came to Christ. How many of you are glad today that you heard the invitation, the call to salvation, and you called on Him? Raise your hand and say amen. You know, I'm thankful that God gives the call to those of us that fail and come short. And I don't really have a lot of time to look at your failings and shortcomings because I have too many of my own. And if I said that I didn't, Renee would say, hold on a minute, you need to check with the person that really knows what's going on. Yes, I failed and come short. Many times. I don't mean to. I don't want to. But I do. You know why? Because the devil knows where to hit me, just like he knows exactly where to hit you and what to hit you with and when to hit you with it. He's an excellent marksman. He's a conniving hunter. He's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil calls you by your sin. You know why? Because he knows we'll answer. Isn't that true? He knows we'll answer. God knows our sins, but he calls us by name. See, the devil wants to ensnare us and entrap us. So he calls us by that which will enslave us. God wants to set us free. Calling us by our sin will not set us free. So God calls us by the name that is above every name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, he calls out to you and says, won't you come? Won't you get saved? He calls to the backslider, won't you come and get right with God? To the fearful and unbelieving, God calls out and says, come and trust in me. I'm thankful for that invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And you shall find rest unto your souls. You know what we need today? Rest. Rest is not going to come in figuring out what's going on. You're not going to, hey, the people that are experts don't know what's going on. Amen? I'm not throwing stones at them. I don't know exactly what's going on. But I do know one who does. Amen? And if you're saved, I know this is not a news flash, but I'm going to act like it's a news flash. And to those of you that are saved, praise God, you know him too. And you know what? He knows you by name. It says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. I'll allow you to overcome those fears. I'll allow you to live through those fears in confidence and faith. See, the devil knows us by name.